I hope I can shed a little light on your pathway as you end the pilgrim journey in your soul from the cradle to the grave. I feel like the Lord has impressed me to warn people against imitation religion, because I was involved in it when I was 11 years old. Somebody said you was big enough to join the church, so I joined the church. But when I got about 16 years old, I experienced what it is for the Lord to give a man faith and to be born into the kingdom of God. And the second thing that the Lord's impressed me to do is to comfort people among the troubles and afflictions and trials of life. As sure as you're breathing air this morning, troubles and trials are going to be down your road. Job, I believe, once said, a man that's born of woman is full of his days as few. He'll be filled with trouble. Down the highway of life, you may have a long stay in a nursing home, long sicknesses, troubles and trials everywhere. So many people need comfort. I've lived through the teenage years of this century. I lived in seen World War One. They said there'd never be any more wars after World War One. That was the war to end all wars. They organized the peace conference then, said we all going to sit down and talk. There's not going to be any war no more. I lived in the 20s, the prosperity of the 20s, and in the 30s, and saw all the troubles that came with the 30s when banks and everything collapsed all over the country. Some of the most prominent men in my county, bankers and politicians, ended their own life. As everything fell around them, banks collapsed, the society collapsed, and we had the Great Depression. Then I lived all in the 40s, the 50s, and the 60s. And 70s, and now we're in the 80s. After World War II, they said that we got the atomic bomb. There'll be no more wars. You better be cautious about what our political leaders tell you, because I've got the experience of what they've told me in the past. So much of it's proved false. So that's some of the experiences I've had in life, and I like to try to comfort people and encourage them in the trials of life. And I think I want to talk to you a little bit about the most important thing in all the world to you this morning. In God's holy and everlasting eternal word, in the first chapter of 2 Peter, if you'd like to turn to it, I hear so many people say, I got saved and I'm going to heaven when I die. I had a boy that got a free scholarship to Wake Forest College. They come down and give him a free scholarship up there. We'll pay off all your books. We'll feed you. We'll do everything and give him a free scholarship. But there's a lot of demands that came along with that scholarship. You must do certain things. You must be in the bed at a certain time at night. Exercise. Run. Fight. That separated him from every other college. He had to live a separated life. He couldn't play for no other Atlantic Coast Conference team when he signed that. So many people claim that they get saved and they die and never think about the claims and demands of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible's full. The Lord spent more of his time teaching his disciples how to live than he did out winning the people into his kingdom. So I'd like to talk to you a little bit about the most important thing in all the world, and that's you, down inside of you. When you're saved, God gives you a new heart. He gives you a good new mind. He gives you a clean spirit. And what you're going to do with them, He holds us responsible for what we do with our mind, what we do with our heart, and what kind of spirit we have in our body. If you don't hear nothing else, I wish you had listened to this morning. When the Lord Jesus Christ come back to this earth, he's going to bring a new body to place on you. But he's not going to, you're going into eternity with that same spirit, that same heart, that same mind you got. And what the most important thing in all the world is how we develop that mind and that spirit in that heart. And he gives us responsibility of keeping that mind pure, keeping your heart clean. Only the pure in heart's going to see God. You better keep your heart with all diligence, the Bible says. Because out of your heart come the issues of life. What kind of spirit have you got developed down inside of you? You're going to have to meet God with what you develop in your mind, in your heart, and in your spirit. He's going to give you a new body, but nowhere in all the Word of God do I find he's going to give you a new heart. When you die, or when he comes back to this earth, you're going to meet him like you are. So I want to talk to you about the most important thing, and that is your faith. What kind of faith you got? The Bible said that God gives you faith. It don't cost you anything. It's a gift of God. Not a work lest any man boast. But then he warned, what are you going to do with that faith after he gives it to you? What are you going to do with that faith? Is it a dead faith? Faith without works is dead. What good is anything dead? Is your faith dead or alive? Is it a dead faith or a doer of the word? James said we had to be doers of the word and not hearers if it accomplished us anything. In Peter, the first chapter, if you've got faith, and everybody that I talk to, if you ask them, they got faith in God? Yeah, I've got faith in God. I believe in God. And most everybody's made two or three professions of religion. I've watched revivals all my life. From the time I was 16-year-old, the greatest preachers ever come through this country. I've been in the revival, seen the great movements, and seen people make two or three professions and say they've been saved two or three different times. But the sad part of it is something happens to them and they go back. So I'm going to tell you, lay you down some rules here according to the Word of God that you can make a success with your Christian life. But it's going to be from a now on experience. I've been at this thing for only some 50 years and I'm still trying to grow and learn yet. Listen to what Peter says here in 1 Peter. Simon Peter, a servant apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that obtain like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied in you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. All right, I want you to listen to what Peter says here under the influence of the Holy Spirit. You've got faith. It's a gift of God. It didn't cost you nothing. But to make it simple, if I'd come down and give you a bowl of flour and tell you to make me a cake, you would have to add a lot to that to make me a cake. God gives you that faith. And I'm going to mention seven things here that he said for you to add to that faith, mix in with that faith, add these things to your life, and then you can have the assurance that you are born of God and that you've got an inner I mention these things, I want to give you one of the terriblest warnings in all the Bible. It said it in the last verse up here. I'm going to read it first. If you don't have these seven things that I'm going to mention to you, he said, if you lacketh these things, he that lacketh these things is blind. You must add them to you, these things to your life, or you'll become spiritually blind. And I'm seeing so many people that's so spiritually blind, so confused in religion, it's a tragedy. Next thing he said would happen to you, you'd get to where you couldn't see afar off. You'd lose your vision of the world to come, and wouldn't that be awful? That you didn't have no vision, no hope in the world to come. The only hope I see so many people, I joined the church when I was 9 years old. I'm going to heaven when I die. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The first thing he said, you'd become blind. The next thing, you couldn't see afar off. You'd lose your vision. And have forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wouldn't that be awful to forget the time when the Lord rolled the burdens off of your heart and created in you a pure mind, a pure heart, and give you that love for everybody that he gives. When he saves them. All right, I want to mention these seven things. And I hope you'll listen. You better get your pencil and write them down or mark this scripture in your Bible. I'd hate for anyone of the sound of my voice to become blind and lose their vision. I've seen a lot of people that said, oh, the only hope I got is going way back out of 50 years ago and I nailed by a rock and got saved. That's a mighty poor hope. The Lord's not living in you now. All right, in verse 5 he said this. Besides this, give all diligence. You better listen. Give all diligence. Add to your faith virtue. Add to your faith. The first thing he said was virtue. You need a pure mind. Like God gives you when he saves you. You need a pure heart. And you need a pure conversation, because out of your conversations, it shows what's down inside of your heart. We need to be careful what we put in our mind to keep our mind pure. In our heart, keep your heart pure. Only pure in heart don't see God. In your conversation, people's gonna, your influence will be lost. Or it'll be gained by the conversation you have out here with the people in the world. The second thing, these seven things is not gifts of God, but he gave us eyes, and he gave us mind, and he gave us heart, and he gave us a spirit. He expects us to develop these ourselves. The second thing he mentions is knowledge. How are you going to gain knowledge? You've got eyes, you've got a good mind, Bible's laying everywhere. You better wake up and gain some of this knowledge. The Bible said that we're supposed to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that growth ought to happen day by day. We need to be concerned about God and eternity and gain more knowledge. After 50 years of reading the Bible, I still learn to find great treasures that I never had discovered before in God's holy and eternal Word. It says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You need to get the right kind of knowledge. The right kind of knowledge will bring the right kind of wisdom. The Bible says that the wisdom that comes down from God is pure and peaceable and gentle and full of mercy. Good works. What kind of faith do you got? What kind of wisdom? That's the kind that comes down from the Father above. And that's what we're going to need when we come. come into the judgment, it's this great wisdom that God gives us, and we need that as we live our lives day by day. And the next thing is temperance. The Lord is not going to be in the habit taking people into the world to come that don't discipline their lives here in this world. We need to be temperate in the things we eat, drink, and all areas of life. The Bible, if you can gain the knowledge of what temperance includes, if you read the Bible and study it. The fourth thing I want to mention is patience. How much patience you got? We have to develop that patience. And don't be too discouraged when troubles and afflictions and trials come, because a lot of times the Lord is teaching us patience and to live a lifetime and meet all the trials and difficulties of life. You're going to need a lot of patience, because things don't go to suit us so many times. I could tell you about a religion that would make you live on heaven and earth and yawn and have plenty of money and plenty of health and everything, but that's not the kind of world that I've been through in these almost 75 years. So you're going to need a lot of patience. The next thing is godliness. What is godliness? You read the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he tells us about how we should live. He teaches the grace of God that comes to us, teaches that we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Not out yonder in heaven when the Lord come back, but the Lord wants people walking around upon the streets of our city that live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, on the job, wherever they are. The sixth thing I'd like to mention to you is brotherly kindness. And this brotherly kindness that the Bible teaches about is a golden rule. Brotherly kindness is that golden rule. It includes everybody that you meet. If you've got that kind of religion, all races is included in that. All ages and all colors is included in the people you deal with. I try to teach my children that was all the rule of life, whether a man was black or brown or yellow or any color. When you meet him, you always treat him just exactly like you'd like to be treated. Be just as friendly with the poor man down in the street as you do the richest man that walks the street. Because we all gonna meet in the judgment on the same level. There's no gonna be no big eyes and little news. And there's so much racial hatred and social hatred among our society. I wonder what we're gonna do when we meet up yonder, when it's got all nations, kindred, and tongues is gonna be gathered around the throne of God, and you and me are gonna be there. So we need to live like that here on this earth, because God's going to reward us according to the way that we live and the way we develop ourselves while we walk around here on this earth. And the seventh thing that I'd like to mention is charity, our love. What kind of love have you got for God? What kind of love do we have for our fellow man? It scares me to think there's so much so little love in the country. But God commanded we love one another. You may be a boss man over 100 people. God commanded you to love them people. He commands us to love our wives. It's a command of the Lord Jesus Christ that we love one another. That doctor spoke to love his patience. And we're going to have to answer to God someday to how we react our love out towards our fellow men. wake up now while we have time and organize these things. And the Lord made a terrible statement when he said, don't you, you'll have to get, love will be better than the Pharisees because they love the ones that love them. But your love is supposed to go on out to the enemies according to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter said, if we add these things to our life, we make our peace call and election sure. If you add these blessed seven things to your life, and listen at these wonderful promises here, and our time's about to run out. And this is what we are working for. It said, you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can understand and have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ as we add and mix these things into our life. And I hear so much about eternal security, eternal salvation. If you want to know what it is, it's in these seven things. It said, if you add them to your life, you shall never fall. Never, never fall. Ain't that wonderful? I feel like shouting, you never fall. You got these things mixed in your life. You are sitting on a rock, you'll never fall, never fall. I know a woman one time was dying, the preacher asked if you're sinking. She said, I'm sitting on a rock. You don't sink when you're on a rock. And that's what will happen to us if we add these things and listen to the last. An abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what we're all looking for. The abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our God. You'll be like the man in the Bible that built his house on the rock. The wind came, the flood came, and beat up on that house, and it fell out because it was founded on the rock. My prayer is this comes so close that each one of you might add these things and mix them into your life. So when your life comes to close, you'll have no fear because you'll be anchored on that rock of ages that stands for time and for all.